Jodie Taylor from Copperberg's Gothenburg FC, and you're listening to the Women's Football Podcast.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Hi everyone, welcome along to the second special of the Women's Football Podcast. And for me personally, it's nice to be back in the presenting chair.
He's back, good to have you back, pal.
Thanks very much. I'm sure you looked after Alicia for me though.
I thought she did a very good job while you were away, mate. Big shoes to fill, but I think she did a sterling job.
Absolutely. However, on to the business at hand. The second special that we're doing is all about Sweden. Now, Europe's elite are of course heading to Sweden for Euro 2013, so we thought we would take a look at the host nation. So Kieran, what are we going to talk about on the podcast today?
Well, we thought that it would be quite nice to have a chat with an actual Swede, so we took advantage of the fact that Chelsea striker Sofia Jakobsen is currently playing in the FA Women's Super League, so I went down to Chelsea's home ground and had a chat with her just after their final game of the first half of the season.
Excellent. I myself managed to speak to Jodie Taylor, who is of course flying the flag for England out in Sweden for Copperberg Gothenburg. I love that name, by the way. That's awesome.
It's good to be sponsored by an alcoholic beverage.
It is.
You never get away with it over here, but in Sweden, who cares?
Terrific. Anyway, Jodie was kind enough to give us a bit of a tourist guide to the country. So let's crack on, Kieran. Here is your chat with Sofia Jakobsen.
So I'm joined by Sofia Jakobsen, my player to look out for Chelsea ladies this season on the latest edition of the Women's Football Podcast. Sofia, thank you very much for joining us. First off, you've just finished a game for Chelsea. We're now at the mid-season point. How have you settled into life in England?
Yeah, the life is okay, and the football have been like up and down, both for me and for the team. And I don't know if it's because if we have a new team or it's a different football here. So yeah, I think it's have been good for me and a good experience so far.
Good. How is it different? You've obviously moved over from Russia. Mm-hmm. You've played in Sweden. What differences have you noticed about the game over here?
Yeah, like before I have always played in Sweden and it's used to that football. Like it's more technical football and it's here it's more physical. And the Russian football is more similar to the Swedish than the English and Swedish actually. So to move to Russia was more easy for me than to come here. But I think this is good experience for me, like I said before, and I hope it will be better and better as far as the season is going.
But you're enjoying it?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it, and I like the girls in the team and the trainers, so I like the coaches, so yeah.
And in terms of you've played in Sweden, what is it that in Sweden is different, other than the technical side of the game? What else is different than playing over here?
No, I think we have come further than they have come here. We are training like in season, we are training like seven times in a week, and when we have off season, like the pre-season, we're training 9 to 10 times in a week. So I think it's like more, we have more professional football players in Sweden than it's over here. We're training like 2 times with the team, and then I need to train by myself. So I think it's the biggest difference.
What was the attraction to come to England? What was it that made you want to come over here?
Yeah, I was playing Olympics here, and I also know the national team of England is good, and I want a challenge, and I think it's a big challenge for me to come here. And
well, you mentioned the national team for England. You're playing them at the start of July in a friendly before the Euros, aren't you, for Sweden?
Yeah, so it will be funny, and now I know some players, so it will be a little bit different this time and the last time. So no, it will be a nice game and a tough game, I think.
So you'll be giving tips to your coach, because obviously you're likely to come up against players like Enya Luko, for example.
Yeah, if she asks me, I will tell her, of course.
We hope not too much, though.
But I think they have like look at the players, and I think we have a good control over the England team.
We've spoken about Chelsea. Let's talk about Sweden. Obviously, you're hosting the European Championships in a few weeks' time. What's the reaction over there? What are people saying? Are they looking forward to it? Are they excited about the tournament?
Yeah, I think so. We have played some camps over there in Sweden with the national team, and it's have been a lot of people who comes to the game and everything. And I have just heard good response from Sweden and the people over there, and I think the women's football in Sweden is kind of big because we don't have a good men's team in Sweden, so the women's soccer is like big in Sweden, and I think this European Championship is really good for the Sweden football and also the football in the whole Europe to show that women's football is growing and it's actually really good.
Because there's big players in Sweden, isn't there? And especially in the women's team, people like yourself and Lotta Schelin.
Yeah.
Do you notice that there is a more interest in the women's game as months and years go on?
Yeah, I think so. Every year it's going bigger and bigger. And I think it's important for your national team and for women's football that you are succeeding with your national team, or like the games is showing at TV when it's good games, and like the Champions League final is good, and like I think we get more further, and every year I think it gets bigger.
So for you personally, if you're picked for the squad, how much are you looking forward to the tournament, and what chance do you think Sweden have of actually progressing and winning the whole competition?
Yeah, I think if I get picked, I will do everything to be in the starting 11, and we have a like it's tough because we have a lot of good players up front, and but I will do everything. And for the team, I think we have a really good team with a lot of good players in all positions. And if we really play like a team and use our star players, I think we can really be in the top. And then I hope we can play the final.
Do you feel that there is more pressure on you because you are hosting the tournament?
No, I don't think so. I think we are just happy and lucky that it's in Sweden and we have a chance to change the view at women's soccer. And I hope really that we can do a good job on that.
Okay. So let's have some light-hearted questions now. England have got 3 games in Linköping.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
We say Linköping.
Linköping.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us what sort of things we should be looking for in Linköping and what sort of things we can do there if you know the area?
I don't know so much about Linköping. I know they have some good ice cream shop that
Excellent.
You really need to go to. I have not eaten ice cream there, but I have heard they make the whole ice cream by themselves, and
yeah,
it's really good. I cannot remember the name, but it's in the city, and the city is not so big, so I think you will find it. And then I know they have a nice river where you can maybe sit and eat your ice cream. So, no, I don't know. I don't know so much about the city.
That's all right. That's fine. Now, obviously, when I go abroad to another country, I like to at least have an attempt at speaking some of the language. Yeah. Can you translate some things that I'm likely to have to need while I'm out there? So I think the first thing that I'm probably going to need is, can I have a beer, please?
Kan jag få en öl, tack?
Okay, excellent. I shall make a note of that. I also have a tendency to get lost. So how about, sorry, I am lost?
Ursäkta, men jag har kommit bort.
Okay. And then when I'm in the stadium, I have a little bit of a tendency to be a little bit rude about referees. So how would I say the referee is not very good?
Domaren är riktigt dålig.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Sofia, thank you very much for joining us on the Women's Football Podcast. We do wish you all the best in Sweden next month, and we hope if England do come up against you that maybe you'll give us a bit of a chance.
Yeah, we will do our best because we want to win, but I hope it will be a good game.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Women's Football Podcast. Follow the podcast on Twitter at WFPod.
Well, nice work there, pal. Fluent in Swedish now, aren't you?
Yeah, do you know what, mate? I'm out there for a week and I think that I'll be absolutely fine with those 3 phrases. And I must also stress I am very much looking forward to my Swedish ice cream as well.
Yeah, no worries. Bring some back for me.
I will.
Anyway, we've talked to a Swede in England, and now it's time to talk to an English player in Sweden. I managed to give Jodie Taylor a quick call, and here she is. Jodie, thank you for joining us on the podcast. You've been out in Sweden for a little while now. Is it starting to feel like home?
It's a little bit, yeah. I've settled in quite well from the beginning in Gothenburg. It's a really nice city, nice place, and good people.
What sort of challenges did you have to face in the early few months?
The cold weather is probably one of the biggest ones. And playing on turf, I think, was a big challenge initially. Going from grass to turf is a lot different. Once I got used to that, I was a lot more successful in the games. And also the pace of the game as well, I think. It's a lot more physical and aggressive, and you have a lot less time on the ball. So it definitely took a couple of months to get used to that.
But you're no stranger in playing abroad, are you?
No, I've been around a little bit, you can say. I really enjoy playing in different countries and just culturally being in a new place. But I really enjoy being in Sweden, and it's really competitive football.
Did having Anita Asante, a fellow English native out there, help?
Yeah, definitely. It was really good to have Anita already here on the team and already been here a season. She kind of showed me around a little bit and helped me get settled in. So, yeah, it's been really positive having her here.
And on the pitch, things have gone really well?
Yeah, things have gone pretty well. We had a little slow start to the season. A lot of draws. But the last few games have been going well, and we've played some tough matches and come out with a couple of wins. So, yeah, it's positive.
You've touched on it before, but can you elaborate a bit more on the differences between the league? You've already said that it's a physical one.
Yeah, it's a really competitive league compared to some of the leagues I've played in the past. The players themselves are really physical and aggressive. The speed of play is really good. And they're pretty decent technically as well. So, you know, overall, they are really tough games to play in, and every team's good as well. You know, I think in other places I've played, you can kind of just show up to the game knowing that you're probably going to win. Whereas here, you'll get found out. So, you know, each week it is a really tough match.
Is that improving you as a player then?
Yeah, definitely. I think already just being here a few months, I feel like I've developed personally in my own game. But yeah, the defenders are really quick and strong, and you give them a split second and they'll catch you right back up. So, and that's in training as well. So every day I feel like I am developing and becoming a better player here.
You're playing alongside and against some really top players as well, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have some great players in our team. We have Anita Asante. Obviously, she's a world-class player. We have Yale. We have some Swedish-based players as well, awesome defenders. And the likes of Tiraso have some of the best attackers in the world. And it's great for me to be playing against them with some of the best players each week in and week out.
How's women's football received out in Sweden? Because obviously in this country it's still a work in progress, but what's it like in Sweden?
Yeah, it's pretty positive, to be honest. I think with the men's game not being so big compared to in other places in Europe, I think that helps. Puts a bit more focus on the women. I think the women's game gets a bit more attention over here in the media, in the newspapers, and on the radio and on TV as well. Games are televised a lot on regular TV, which is really good. I think they've marketed the Euros pretty well as well. You see the banners up on the main stadiums and in the main shopping centres, kind of supporting the Swedish national team. So it's all really positive.
I was going to ask you about the Euros. I'm sure the country's gearing up for that next month.
Yeah. Obviously, there's one set of the group games based in Gothenburg. So, as I said, they have been marketing that quite well, and on the main Ullevi Stadium, it has the dates, it has huge banners. I think that the word's being spread pretty well, and hopefully they'll get a lot of people at the games.
So, for those who travel over to follow England, have you learned any handy phrases in Swedish that might help?
hey, humanu, and hey door. That'll probably get you enough.
Yeah? What do they mean?
Hi, how are you, and bye.
Oh, that'll do, yeah, that'll do.
The best you can speak English.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, they're really good at English over here, so maybe just make a bit of an effort with hi and bye, and then you'll be fine.
Okay. Is there any particular food that is worth a try?
Swedish meatballs, I'm going to have to say. Yeah, they're pretty good. I'd say check out some lunch specials at a Swedish restaurant, and I'm sure people will enjoy it.
And where's the best sightseeing in Gothenburg?
Oh, best sightseeing. Depends what you like. The city, it was a beautiful city, right on the water. I've heard the islands are pretty nice, just off the tram line 11, which I was supposed to actually go to that yesterday, but didn't work out. But that's supposed to be real nice. And then there's a few nice lakes around. I'll probably stick to the city, and Haga is a really nice, cosy little street as well.
So what do you do when you're not training and playing?
I'm not training and playing. I like to people watch, go to cafes, catch up with some of the girls. It's a big coffee culture here.
Right.
People will soon find out. I've just started some Swedish tutor lessons as well, so that's going to start taking up my time a little bit, which is good.
Fantastic.
Other than that, just relax, and we train most days, and it's pretty full on with how the schedule is this year. A lot of games, and then a break, and more games. So I'm relatively busy just with football.
You've said that that Swedish players are quite physical on the pitch. What are they like off the pitch? Are they quite nice people?
No, they are. They're really nice. It's like two extremes, I think. Really physical and aggressive on the pitch, but off the pitch, they're real placid and chill people. So it's a really welcoming environment to come into, and they all speak really good English as well, which definitely helps.
Who were the ones that sort of helped you settle in?
I think a couple of the more experienced players on the team, Stina, the captain, and Mare, they really helped me settle in with the team, and explained everything, especially when Anita was away when I first got here with the national team. And then some of the other younger ones like Olivia, Shu, and Bia, they've really helped me settle. But everyone's so nice and friendly.
Brilliant. And let's talk about obviously the Euros again. Would that have been a tournament that you really want to play a part in?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to play at the highest level possible. I haven't really got much more to say than that. I'd love an opportunity to play in a major tournament, but I am enjoying playing in a top league right now, and that's my focus.
The Women's Football Podcast. Get involved via Facebook.
facebook.com/WFpod.
There we go. That was Jodie Taylor, and interestingly, Kieran, she's not been mentioned as a potential candidate for the England Euro squad.
You use the word interesting, mate. I would probably use the word disappointing. Obviously, the squad was announced recently. We know who's going to be brought in playing to Sweden. And I think when you look at Jodie's form for Gothenburg and the impact that she's made in Sweden, I think she's incredibly unlucky to not only to not have been mentioned, but probably not to have made the final 23.
I think you're right. I mean, let's have a look at the squad, and we'll go forwards first. on the subject of Jodie. You know, Hope Powell likes to play that one up front, and to be honest, that's Jodie Taylor's specialty, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you look at her and what she's been doing for Gothenburg, and another player that was probably a little bit unfortunate not to be mentioned was Natasha Dowie, who's obviously made the move across Merseyside to Liverpool and has been playing that role for the Reds and has been very productive. You and I have seen her a few times this season, and she's played that role very, very well.
She almost fits the mould of a Hope Powell player as well, because she's a real hard worker up front, Tash Dowie.
Yeah, she is, and I think she probably would have, you know, been beneficial for a tournament situation where games come quick, you know, thick and fast, and you know, she maybe, you know, will have fitted in very well. But obviously, you know, we don't want to focus too much on the players that have been left out. So maybe you'd like to sort of go through some of the ones that have been included.
Yeah, I will. You know, let's have a look at the forwards. Eni Aluko from Chelsea, Tony Duggan of Everton, Ellen White of Arsenal, who you'd expect to start the tournament up front.
Yep.
And then a real talking point, the inclusion of Kelly Smith.
Yeah, I think that there was some debate because obviously Kelly hasn't played for a little while. And I know that you and I had a bit of a debate when the squad was announced. There's certainly no opposition to Kelly being in the squad. But I think the debate that we had was, do you start her, do you use her as an impact player? And for me, you know, I'm quite fortunate. I know Kelly personally, and I know how hard she works and how much she would have put into making this squad. I just don't think that you can leave Kelly behind. I think she is that player that can change games. There's not many around like her. I do genuinely think it was the right decision to pick her and take her to Sweden.
She's got a real aura on the pitch as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, I think that she actually produces... She produces fear in the opposition, mate. I think when opposition defenders know that she's playing, they know they're in for a challenge. Kelly is one of those players that can produce something from nothing. They're quite rare in the women's game. I think there are a number of incredibly talented players in this country, and I think we're very fortunate. And I agree with some of the statements that this is one of, if not England's strongest squad that we've ever seen. But Kelly, on her day, is as good as anyone, and that is backed up by the fact that she is, you know, one of the only English players, if not the only English player, to have been nominated for, you know, World Player of the Year in the past.
Of course, but, you know, alongside her up front, we've also got Tony Duggan as well, and she's been in fantastic form, you know, a really prolific striker this season.
Yeah, Tony's come on leaps and bounds, hasn't she? I mean, I saw her first time last season, and it was at Boreham Wood away at Arsenal. And she scored an absolute peach from about 25 yards on the half volley. And unfortunately, the camera angle that the camera caught it at wasn't particularly, you know, didn't do it justice, because it was a really great strike. And she's just gone on from there, mate, to be honest with you. Everton, you'll know, as you know better than I will, have lost a few players in the summer. And Tony really does seem to have taken it upon herself to think, do you know what, we've lost a few players, but I'm going to take the responsibility and I'm going to be the one to lead this team and try and get us as far up the table as possible.
Absolutely. And when Andy Spence took over, she said to him, you know, she wanted that number 9 shirt. You know, she'd had 11. She was playing just off as a striker, but she's wanted to be that central striker. And, you know, she does wander in games. She does want to be involved all the time. But she has repaid the faith that Spence has shown in her to play that leading role. I just wonder whether Hope Powell's going to let her do it for England.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I think you're right. I think Ellen White will play the lone striker role. And I think Tony will probably initially be an impact sub. I think when her, you know, legs are starting to get tired, especially for the opposition, Tony's energy, her pace and her ability will be a real asset for England later on in games. So, yeah, she definitely deserves her place, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her out in Sweden.
And Ellen White, of course, you know what you're going to get with Ellen, a real hard worker up front and one who's going to lead the line.
Yeah, workaholic, mate. You know, Ellen is there's not many strikers in England like Ellen. I think she's not just a workaholic, though. She's got a lot of ability to back it up, and she'll run all day for you. And she scores goals, and that's what you need. So, yeah, Ellen will no doubt be the first choice central striker.
And, of course, Eni Aluko, just to round off the forwards, obviously been playing as part of a three for Chelsea. You'd expect to maybe find her on the wing for England.
Yeah, you know what you get with Annie. Absolutely rapid. I saw her against Everton, Chelsea's last game before the FAWSL broke for the mid-season break. And Annie's all over the place. She comes deep. She goes wide. She just wants the ball. She's everywhere. So, yeah, no surprise that she was included. And I'm sure she'll have an important role to play.
Let's have a look at the midfielders now. Me personally, I actually think this is probably where the England team is really strong and arguably the strongest. You know, you've got so many different kinds of midfielders in there. You've got the likes of Farrell Williams, who wants to get on the ball and dictate things. You've got Jill Scott, box-to-box, energy. You've got Jess Clark, you know, ability out wide. Karen Carney, the sheer versatility of her. Anita Asante, the destroyer. It's a great midfield, isn't it?
Yeah, you've mentioned loads of good players there, and not even mentioned our record cap holder in Rachel Yankee, and I think that speaks volumes of how strong that midfield is. You know, Jordan Nobbs is obviously in there and has been absolutely superb for Arsenal, and you know, again, you look at those players, there's no place for Gemma Davison, who is consistently one of Arsenal's best players week in, week out, and she can't get a look in, and you know, there are a number of good players in there, and I think that midfield is incredibly strong. You know, you've got the mix of youth and experience. You've got experienced players like Farrah and Jill and Anita Asante, but then you've got the youngsters like Jordan and Jade Moore. So, yeah, exciting. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for Hope Powell to pick a midfield four or five, whatever she decides to go with.
Who can you see making up that five-person midfield, do you think?
It's really difficult to predict, mate, to be honest with you. I think Rachel Yankee is probably a shoo-in to play out wide on the left. I think if she's fit, I'd play Karen Carney probably on the right. And I'd play a midfield three, which would probably be Anita Asante, Jill Scott. And probably I'd play Kelly in behind Ellen White. So, yeah. It would
Big
be
call. Not Farrah Williams, no?
Sorry?
Not Farrah Williams?
I really rate Farrah incredibly highly, but I noticed that obviously she didn't have a starting role for Team GB. I know that Kim Little obviously came in and played an important role for Team GB. I really rate Farrah. I'm just wondering, I'd probably play Anita and Jill as your midfield too, with Yankee and Carney out wide with Kelly Smith in behind Ellen White. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying that's right.
No, absolutely. Now, let's have a look at the defence as well. And obviously, a couple of injury problems heading into the tournament. So we see the uncapped duo of Lucy Bronze and Gemma Bonner.
Yeah, and I have to say, fair play to both of them and credit to both of them. Both had a great season for Liverpool. Gemma Bonner, I do want to give a special mention for. I think Gemma is an incredible talent. I do genuinely think she is a future England captain. I saw her a couple of years ago when she was playing for Chelsea, and she's got everything that you want in a defender. She's got good positioning, she's good in the air, she's strong in the tackle, and she's been a real leader for Liverpool this season. Matt Beard put a lot of faith in her, making her his captain at the age of 21 when you've got all these new players coming in from abroad, and she's taken it all on her shoulders, and you know, she's been absolutely fantastic for Liverpool, and Lucy Bronze similarly has slotted in nicely at Liverpool, and you know, credit to both of them. They deserve their call-ups, and hopefully we might see them get a run-out.
But you would expect the centre-back pairing of, obviously, the skipper, Casey Stoney, and her Lincoln teammate, Sophie Bradley, and that's been a combination that's worked quite well.
Yeah, very strong, very, very strong, and the more they play together, the better they're going to get. You know, they have the advantage of playing together for their club every week, and I really rate Sophie Bradley, and what a player to be learning from in Casey Stoney. I think it's an interesting pairing. They're contrasting styles, and I think it's only going to get better.
So let's round off the defenders. You've got, again, another experienced player in Laura Bassett. You've got the ever-versatile Steph Houghton, who will do a job wherever on the pitch. Alex Scott. And Dunia Susi, who again is fairly versatile. So it's a nice mix in there.
Yeah, again, nice mix. And it's nice to have that versatility. I mean, we mentioned that there's a few injuries. We're obviously short at left back with no Claire Rafferty and no Rachel Unit. But I've no doubt that Steph Housen will start out there. But Casey Stoney actually played left back at Euro 2009 and was very comfortable out there. So I'm sure that if asked to do the job, she could do it again. Alex Scott, you know exactly what you're getting at right back. You know, absolute energy, just full of energy. You know, bombing up and down that right side, and you know, great defender as well. So I'm sure she will be an ever present. And you've got that cover in the players that you mentioned, like Laura Bassett and Dunya Stuzi, who are consistent performers for their clubs every week. So yeah, really strong, a lot of depth there, and I think a lot to look forward to.
And let's conclude the squad with the goalkeepers, and realistically they pick themselves, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think we obviously discussed just before we came on the show, and we said probably the only goalkeeper that could probably consider herself unfortunate was Carly Telford. But I think Carly would probably admit that it was probably the tournament came too soon for her. She got a bad injury while she was playing out in Australia. She came back to the UK, and just before the FAWSL started, she got another injury, which meant she missed the start of the season. So, you know, Carly's still young. I rate her incredibly highly, and I think that her time will come in the future without a doubt. But you look at the free keepers that are in there, they're all class. Siobhan Chamberlain has been absolutely outstanding for Bristol Academy this year, and it's no coincidence that they are sitting high in the league. And, you know, that's thanks largely to her performances between the sticks. And you know, you've got Rachel Brown, who's been there, done it, and worn the T-shirt. I think I saw her tweet that this is her third or her fourth European Championship. So, you know, she's been there and she's seen it all before. So it's great to have that experience. And KB, you know, to me, KB is one of the best keepers, not only in England, but in the world. I think she's got everything. She's got the presence, the height, the ability. And, you know, I think she'll have an important role to play, especially in, you know, if we get into the later rounds.
So there we go. There is the England squad and what we think of it. We wish them the very best of luck out in Sweden, and let's hope that they can reach that final that they're aiming for.
The Women's Football Podcast. Listen to the podcast via SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/WFpod.
Right, that's almost all we've got time for, but Kieran, we need to pick a winner for our Mia Hamm signed programme competition.
We do, yeah. So thank you all those that entered. We had a number of you retweet and spread the word about the Women's Football Podcast, so thank you very much for that. Hamish, we've put all the names in a hat, and seeing as you were absent for the last podcast, I think it's only right that you pick out a winner. So fire away, pal.
Oh, thanks very much. Right, so a little rumble around in here. Right, we've got a winner, and it is Ellie McKellar. So congratulations, Ellie. We will follow you on Twitter, and we'll get that sorted out and sent out to you.
Well done, Ellie. Congratulations.
So there we go. There's the second of our special, all about Sweden, and hopefully that puts you in the mood for the upcoming Euro 2013. See you all.
Ta-ra.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.